May the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning, St. Mark's.
Good morning.
It's such a great delight for me to be here on my first visitation. First time with you, the bishop, as you know, about 16 months. And so making my way around to the 180 congregations, of which family you are very much a part. And it's delightful for me to be here today. And I especially want to thank you for squeezing me in between the chocolate festival and the Super Bowl. I've been thinking all week of exactly what that symbolism would mean. I haven't figured that out. But I think for you all to undergo in 5 days your chocolate festival, the bishop's visitation, the Super Bowl, and then Ash Wednesday, you really know how to live it up. Though it's my first visit to this congregation, it's certainly not my first contact with your congregation. We had two members who were at the final service at St. John's Bowden Street when it was serving as the temporary cathedral, and that service was in September, and two of your folks, Patrick and Morgan, came in and were confirmed that day with us. And then your rector, Suzanne, is a valiant and energetic priest and colleague. She's a part-time priest with a presence in the diocesan community that is anything but part-time, and it's a great joy to be here. Joy to be here, Suzanne, with you in your native habitat, and to see the community that you are a part and such a valued leader. And finally, I want to say thank you to the congregation for your recent participation in the collaboration of the Together Now campaign. I know that you all had set for yourselves a very ambitious goal and really stretched, and though you didn't quite reach the stated goal, what you did was remarkable and a great success by any measure. And so I want to thank you for that, not only for that which it will enable you to do in this place and from this place, but also for the ways which, through that campaign, you're joining yourselves to ministries all around the diocese and indeed all around the world as part of our Diocese of Massachusetts community. So again, thank you for that. Do you remember Miss Havisham?
Yes.
That's the Yes, I know, right? I met her in the library, and I didn't know what to say. Miss Havisham has remained in the memories of many of us who, in some high school English class along the way, read Charles Dickens' classic story, Great Expectations. Maybe you've read it, or maybe you've seen one of the film adaptations that have been made through the years. So Miss Havisham had been a happy young woman in love, an ecstatic bride whose groom never showed up on their wedding day. And so for Miss Havisham, you'll recollect, life had stopped. Years and years later, she still lived in that gloomy old home wearing her faded wedding gown. And all the clocks around the house had been stopped, frozen at just the time that the happy event was supposed to have begun. And in her musty sitting room, her wedding day celebration breakfast sat as a moldy memento of a happy moment that did not last. Miss Havisham wanted to freeze forever the happy morning when everything seemed so exciting and hopeful. She wanted to hold on to that moment to avoid the pain of the lonely afternoon that had followed. Miss Havisham wanted to make time stop. And the tragic result was that she lived out her days in isolation, no new experiences, no new friends, no perspective on life, only loneliness and melancholy. In less dramatic ways, perhaps, most of us have had the same experience somewhere along the way of wanting to make time stand still. to freeze some moment for permanent enjoyment. Maybe somewhere we've lived, or some particular phase of life, or some particular moment with people we love. It's that basic human desire to which Kodak, remember Kodak? Which Kodak used to appeal back in the day when they had a campaign that promised to help us make this moment last forever. There's something inside us that says, this is good, let's just stop right here and stay put. To freeze the fleeting moment was precisely what Peter wanted to do in today's gospel reading. And to be sure, the experience that they were having was worth hanging on to. Peter, James, and John were witnessing what we call the transfiguration of Jesus. There on the mountaintop, the earthly Jesus whom they had been following was changed before their very eyes, seen in the brilliant gleam of God's light and glory, and his identity as the Christ was attested to, even by the ancient laws and prophets in the persons of Moses and Elijah. It was spectacular. If ever there was a moment to be seized upon, this was one. And so it was for Peter, who says, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let's make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. He wanted to build booths, dwellings, tents in which to enshrine that moment. This, of course, was not to be. Jesus had to come down from the mountaintop, and so did Peter and the other disciples. They came down to deal with the hard realities of their lives, to teach and preach and minister, to see their master handed over to be killed, to leave and deny him, then to meet him risen again, and to work to spread the good news of this resurrection and its meaning for others. All of this lay yet ahead after they came down from that mountain. So they had to come down. They had to come down like others before them. There are other such stories. Remember Moses, we are reminded in today's first lesson about how he had shared a sacred time with the Holy One on Mount Sinai, such that his face shone with God's radiance. But he had to come down and struggle with his people and destroy the golden calf and deliver God's commandments. And the prophet Elijah had a similar experience, as does any leader whose inaugural celebration is full of joy and gala events, but who must then face the real life issues of his or her responsibilities. I can tell you from my own personal recent experience that the grandeur of our consecration celebration together in September 15 months ago at the Agganis Arena was sheer joy, covered in pomp and smiles and a 570 voice choir. Was great, but there was then the reality of work to be done. And you know this from your own lives. Graduations, weddings, poignant reunions, vacation moments of delight or grace, all of these come as great gifts, moments to be shared, but we cannot freeze ourselves in time, of course. We cannot as individuals, and no more can we as communities or as parishes, which occasionally look to some past age of glory as something to recreate or hang on to. The message to Peter and to us is that we cannot make time stand still. We cannot hang on to a glorious moment. Often we can or should look back to strong or important or happy times for solace, or strength, or inspiration, but we cannot make them permanent. And more importantly, perhaps, it's best that we can't. Because, of course, our growth requires that we go on to new experiences, new understandings, new patterns of life. And it is this ever-forward movement which allows us to leave behind us the tragic times, the fractious times, the painful times. We may need to look back at those, too, to name parts of a story that need to be named in order to heal or leave them behind. At St. Mark's, I gather that you have lived through your own difficult time, but you have been led well through a period of reconciliation and healing and new beginnings. And now you have embraced your new start, once more experiencing yourselves as a strong and pastoral community where you are known and cared for and strengthened to serve God and to serve your neighbor. Good for you. God bless you. Throughout life, we embrace these opportunities for new beginnings and resurrections. And if we try to stop the clock, we block these possibilities. Like Miss Havisham, we find ourselves totally detached from the ongoing world around us without perspective on that life. It was good for Peter to have the transfiguration experience and to value it. It was not good for him to try to prolong it. He had to go on. He had to go on. And of course, so must we. God calls us forward, ever forward, forward through stages of our lives, forward through stages of our faith. Today we complete the Christmas Epiphany cycle of the church. Christmas, New Year's, Epiphany, Chocolate Festival, 6 weeks of excitement and mountaintop experiences. We sing our hallelujahs loudly today. And then we let go of that time. Lent is upon us, and we will put our hallelujahs away for a while, coming down from the mountaintop to struggle forward with Jesus and Peter into new experiences, making some spiritual tune-ups, life adjustments during Lent, so that we can live even more fully, forward, ever forward, that Easter come once more. In Jesus' name.